podcast, hang on.
Franklin.
You're listening to the debrief. It's Dave O'Neill here, driving down to Frankston to the Cheeky Squire with Brad Oakes.
Hello.
The most regular performer who appears on this podcast.
I'm in the front seat too. Wow.
Yeah, you've been promoted.
Gee, you can see a lot from here.
We're just driving past Southland, where you've got a joke about Southland. What is it again? I thought of your joke. Oh. It's creeping across the highway. So they built across the Nepean Highway.
Yeah, but look, it's because they went the land bridge. Well, it's not land bridge. What do they call it?
I don't know.
Across the road bridge from one side to one side of the shopping centre to the other.
Yeah.
And I said that. I say in my joke that like some bushfire.
Oh, that's right.
The shopping centre has leapt on the Nepean Highway and is heading towards Southland. Chadstone, which is over there in the north. And anyway, if you want to hear the rest of that joke, we have to come see us in the Comedy Festival.
Yeah, we're doing it. We're doing the Grand View, the fun house together.
Yeah.
Well, that's not dissimilar to my joke. I went to Chadstone the other day, closest park I could get was Southland.
Ah.
Hilarious.
Well, I did a joke like that probably about 3 years in. It's 2020.
Oh, no.
Something like that, where I was doing Joey's in South Yarra.
Oh, my God. Yeah, no, that's before my time.
And I was the MC, and I said, so I was in South Yarra, and I said, I went to the Skilled Festival today, so I parked out the front here, and my God.
Classic.
Yeah.
And it's a classic.
Yeah, there weren't even that many cars back then.
Not like now.
Oh, yeah.
The fire brigade are coming up behind us. Now, Brad, today is a sad day. One of the Monty Python have died.
Yes.
Terry Jones.
Terry Jones.
I mean, I like Monty Python, but I sometimes can't distinguish all of them. I mean, I know John Cleese. I know all of them.
Yeah.
Eric Idle.
Yeah, my favourite is Michael Palin.
Oh, I love Michael Palin. Yeah. Okay, so Terry Jones is the only one I don't really know. I know Terry Gilliam, the filmmaker.
Yeah, well, you know, Terry Jones, you know, according to people, a lovely bloke.
And he's Welsh, isn't he?
Yes, I believe he was. And he did a lot of writing.
Right.
He did a lot of writing. And he directed the films.
Oh, did he direct the films?
He was the director, yeah. A bit like Lin-Manuel Santo.
Yeah, yeah, Rob directs and Santo does the camera.
Does the camera, yeah. So they've got, you know, like they've got their
different roles.
Roles, yeah.
Yeah, right. Were you a big
Python? The way you drive. And
yeah, that's right. Here we go. Here comes the fire brigade. I don't want to drag them off, but they're not going that fast.
I am. All right. That's a metropolitan vibe.
You ever done a gig for the fire brigade?
I have done a few. I've done MFB. I've done the
Metropolitan
ones. I did fine. They're very jovial people.
They are. What am I? Oh my God! Now he stopped. What's he doing? Oh, he's turning into the.
Well, this is around about the boundary.
Jefferson Ford.
Yeah, because
climb every mountain.
Because from here on in, like that's the Metropolitan Fire Brigade. From about here on in, it's the country fire.
Oh, you're going to CFA. You reckon that's why?
I reckon he's just got there and they've gone.
Nah, it's too far.
We can't go any further. Sorry, mate. Sorry about your burning car.
One of my friends, a guy I knew.
Push your car over here.
Push it. Yeah, well, yeah. I think Frankston would have MFB where we're heading. They'd have MFB.
Oh, it does, yeah. Standing on, Yeah.
But you'll find some very built-up areas now still have CFA.
Well, yeah, because then.
So I don't want to be controversial, but you're relying on a plumber to get the call and get out of bed and get his mates together and put out your fire. A part-time volunteer.
Before you get alarmed out there and start writing to your MPs, that's not true. There are full-time CFA.
There are full-time firefighters. CFA. You're right.
But I'm doing.
I'm just joking.
I'm doing a gig for him.
We're doing quite a few bushfire benefits. Anyway, look, now I haven't done that, but one of my friends had a job here to go in and investigate organisations, and he said the MFB was the most sexist organisation he'd ever come across.
Wow.
Because he said it was worse than the police force.
Okay, well.
Or the army.
Well, there's, yeah, well,
As you said, every fireman I meet, I've never met a fire woman, actually.
I've met a couple, but you know, not a lot. But, oh yeah, I did. In fact, I did a benefit with them, and they all came out, all the firemen came out. It was at the National Theatre in St Kilda.
Oh, that's a big theatre.
And there was a half a dozen really fit firemen who were, did this calendar, came out and stripped.
Oh, of course.
And I had I'd planned it. I managed to get very yellow pants and a blue t-shirt. And I've come out and the crowd's just gone, oh my God, do not let this happen.
Fantastic. So did you come on at the end of the strip?
I just, about halfway through, you know.
Yeah,
just,
classic.
That, yeah, classic. Well, you know, a lot of comedians, that's how you start. You just have this need for attention, you know. And I was. Yeah.
I did a strip once. I did one of those comedy festival debates years ago where the debate was fat isn't funny or fat. And they had no fat people on the... And so... Kevin White, who's a big comedy manager, actually stepped in. He wasn't my manager. And he actually said, guys, you need a fat person.
That's so funny.
They had Paul McDermott. They had... And so he put me forward and I ended up doing it. And it was great. And I did a strip with Greg Sullivan.
Oh, yeah. He's
still
big boy.
Big boy doing comedy. And Johnny Vegas.
Jeez,
Johnny
Christ.
Vegas. Yeah. Johnny Vegas, who's Johnny Vegas. Quite famous now.
Johnny Vegas, he's bloody mad.
Oh, he's mad. He was a great comic, though, with that pottery wheel. When he get his pottery wheel out and do the scene from Ghost.
I love him on them.
Benador? He's on Benador, is he? What's it called?
I watch him on 8 out of 10.
Yes. Oh, he's on that?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's...
Regular guest there.
He's always very funny.
But, I mean, that debate of not having fat people, it's like Tony Abbott being the Minister for Women.
Yeah, I know. Look,
why don't you get a woman to do it?
I remember saying at Paul McDermott, if the question was, is being small and nasty funny, you could argue yes.
and
smashed it. And then, because Kira, my partner, was actually, she was ushering God, it was a long time ago. And she said people were saying, that fat guy was funny. They didn't know my name.
It's weird, that car over there.
Oh, yeah, what is it? What's going on? That car is on the wrong way. That ute has parked. Maybe that's a fire brigade coming for.
Oh.
But the MFB, I remember doing a live cross on New Year's Eve for the ABC to an MFB in Footscray, and they kept going out to put out fireworks, like illegal fireworks.
Oh, yeah.
And, they're talking about every year they go and see a comedy show and they love Rodney Roode. And so, and there's one fireman they all pick on. Again, the culture of the MFB. And so what happened was they had all their tickets to go see Rodney Roode at the Dragonfly restaurant, you know, the...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's in the western suburbs of Melbourne.
Tullamarine.
Tullamarine, yeah.
I've gigged there.
I've gigged there too, with the smorgasbord.
Yeah.
The Chinese smorgasbord. Anyway.
A bowl of dragonflies, thanks.
They said to this guy, show starts at 8, dinner started at 7:30 on the dot. And the guy said, what's the dress code? And he goes, a suit and tie.
Nasty.
And so they just said it was hilarious. So 7:30, Rodney Roode comes on. Yeah, get fucked. What are you fucking? You fucking. Yeah. 8 o'clock, the back curtain opens and in walks their mate, the fireman, in his suit and tie.
Oh,
and they said, Rodney Roode just stopped the whole show and said, look at this fucking cunt. Look at this guy. Look at the fucking. Look at him.
Too much to work with.
Yeah. And then the guy said occasionally he would just port whatever. He said when you could tell whenever a joke went bad, he would just go back to the guy in the suit.
Yeah.
Look, he's fucking in his suit.
What an anchor.
Oh, there we go. Oh, gee, it's beautiful here, isn't it?
It is.
It's always been nice.
Yeah.
You know, I've done a gig there, and what's that? Are we Mentone?
Yeah, Mentone. That's Doyle's.
Beautiful here on Mentone. Beautiful here on the bay.
Yeah, we've got the windows up. Often it stinks.
Yeah, okay, all right.
And, I had a friend who was a firefighter out at, he was a fan, actually, of mine who worked out at...
Brad Oaks fan.
Yeah, the fan, yes.
There's a few out there, guys.
It's the fan. And, yeah, he ran the whole club by himself. He used to send himself letters, you know, and stuff.
He had the badge.
Yeah. Paid his subs. And,
remember fan clubs used to be big? Remember Friends of the Ends, the Split Ends fan club?
Oh, yeah. Tizzy Man fans.
Yeah.
Anyway, he used to come and be old Star and Garden. Back then his girlfriend was a barmaid there. And anyway, I said to him one day, he was stationed at Footscray later on, but at that stage he was stationed at Eastern Hill Fire Brigade headquarters, right, in East Melbourne. And I said to him, I went there as a kid, but I was too small. Because I was such a little kid when I was like in kinder.
Yeah. But that's the one with the pole.
Yeah, I couldn't go on any, you know, yeah. I couldn't even see anything, you know. And he goes, and I was about like 38 or something like that. He goes, I can organise you a tour up there if you want.
Oh, great.
Oh, are you kidding me? And he goes, you know, I'm pretty funny for fire engines. And he goes, yeah. And I said, don't be messing with me. So he organised for me to go on one Sunday.
Oh, wow.
On the B Company, which was the this afternoon shift or whatever. And I had the full biscuit, right? And they knew I was a comedian, so they were, and I was Howie's mate, so they knew to look after me.
You didn't do the pole, did you?
They wouldn't let me do the pole.
Nah, you know, and occasionally...
The only reason they said to me, I did everything, they said, because I was overweight, they said, you break your ankles.
Yeah, I know. I've been there with one of my kids, and I've seen the pole, and I'm just like, oh. And apparently what they do is they grease the pole sometimes.
Yeah.
For the new recruits. So they go flying down.
Well, you know, but I'll tell you what, I did everything else. I got in the fire truck, and they said, now don't turn on the woo woo. What? Yeah, and
fantastic.
Then they dressed me up in a full body harness.
Oh God!
And yeah, I thought, I'm Pulp Fiction and coming up by this day. And they put me in this kind of harness suit, and I go, what are we going to do now? And they got the snorkel truck. It's like 35 meters or something like that. This thing just goes, kind of ravels and just goes up into the sky.
Oh, yeah, right.
And so, you know, you're double harnessed in. And I'm scared of heights.
Oh, yeah, right? Same here.
And, but, you know, I couldn't say no. So up we went, and you could see right back across the city.
Whoa. Scary though.
Oh, it's very scary. It's like standing on top of a goalpost.
Yeah.
Although this leading firefighter was with me, this, you know, fucking tattooed, red-headed dude, you know, really obviously tough guy. And he goes, and he looks at me and he goes, you're a bit scared, mate. You're a bit toey. I said, well, I'm a bit toey. I'm a bit scared. And he goes, no, it's nothing to be scared of. I said, it's all right for you, pal. You've got rubber pants on.
Yeah.
And he thought it was hilarious. He's yelling at, you know, when the fat guy said,
mate, that's why you're a comedian.
So it was, happy days, you know, like all of it, you know, because I just love it. Honestly, I just, I'm not a fire bug.
No.
You know? I'm really,
You're no hedge burner.
No, but I'll stop mid-conversation when a fire engine goes past. I'll stare at it like I've never seen one before.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. You know, fire engines weren't always red. They're different colours.
Yeah.
There were blue ones too in America because they're owned by different companies or something.
Well, they're owned by insurance companies originally.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, you know your fire truck stuff.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you now that, I knew that from back in my union days.
But
because the insurance companies have a big say on fire regulations and.
Yeah, of course.
You know, like they've got a lot of skin in the game, so to speak. When it comes to where they're situated, you know, like because you'll notice that, like you'll go to you go to a suburb that's got commission flats in it. Well, there has to be a truck with a big
ladder, right.
It's still not going to go right to the top, but it's just, you know, it just all sorts of like stuff that I could ruin a dinner party. Just boring. And the worst thing that happened is...
Mate, you've ruined a podcast. Don't worry about a dinner party.
The worst thing that happened is if a firefighter sat next to me at a dinner party.
Ooh.
You know, it's and have me start telling them stuff.
Shut up, mate. Fiery. There's a fiery at school. Ben.
Yeah.
He's got some great stories. He's an ex-cop.
He could make a film out of... all the people you meet at school.
Yeah, meet at school, yeah.
Gasman.
Oh, the model, the male model, Pete. Male model.
So I met a firefighter on a ship who is one of the coolest guys I've ever met when I was working on a cruise ship. And he was from Queensland. Have I told you this story?
No.
It's a fascinating story. I'm talking to him, and we got on really well, you know. And back then we smoked, you know. So we'd just be sitting around and have a chat. And anyway, he was probably 63, 65, you know, almost retired.
Yeah.
I said, what are you doing? He goes, oh, I just do a bit of woodworking. He said, I've just recently given up being a firefighter. I said, oh, did you do that all your life? He goes, no, I was a cop.
Yeah.
And I said to him, okay. And I said, so, you know, why'd you leave the police force? And he said, well, he pulls up his shirt and he's just got all these, like, white scars.
Oh, no.
Like about 100 of them. And I said, what happened? He goes, I got shot. I got shot with my own gun.
Oh.
And he said, I'm the reason why police in Queensland have a button down holster on their gun. Because I was shot in the middle of the police station by a guy that I'd arrested. And I said, I was just fascinated. And I said, I've got to warn people here that this is not going to finish in a joke.
No.
But it was one of the coolest stories I ever heard. And he said, yeah, what happened was, he said, this guy was, we just busted him on a marijuana charge, you know. Like, even later on, he said he couldn't say why he did it.
Right.
And I said, how many other cops were there? And he said, there was probably 10, 12 cops standing around. This guy just grabbed my gun and shot me. And I said, was it a shotgun because of all these dots? Yeah. And he said, no. He said, that's where my skin was held away from my body for 4 months.
Oh. So where'd the bullet hit?
In his midsection, just below his heart, you know, whatever. So, yeah, 4 months he was in hospital, then in rehab.
So that guy would have gone away for a while then.
Yeah, and I think he said he only did 7 years or something like that. And I said, oh, really? And I said, geez, you must... I said, you must hate it. Do you ever see him? He goes, probably once every 12, 18 months, we get together and have a joint.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's the coolest guy I've ever met, you know? How do you feel about the guy who shot you?
Gee.
He just said, he didn't mean it. He said, it's just a brain snap, you know?
Yeah, yeah, a one-off thing. Really? Yeah, right.
And I just thought, God, you know, like, I'm still annoyed about people who cut in a line.
Yes.
In the bank, you know.
Still annoyed. I can still remember people who go overtime before me when I'm headlined.
I said I was sorry.
Oh, wow. Anyway, we're off.
That's a cool story, though.
It's a great story.
Yeah.
And what a forgiving person.
I know.
True Christian in the sense of the word.
Indeed.
Which brings us back to Terry Jones and Monty Python.
Rest in peace. Gave me a lot of laughs.
Yeah, funny man. All right, we'll let you know how the Frankston gig went. All I can remember about this gig is they have a very good spread in terms of food.
Oh, yeah. Cheeky squire.
Yeah, nice. All right, let's start. We'll get this over and done with. You're back on the debrief, and we're driving home from a triumphant gig at the great Cheeky Squire.
Went well.
Frankston.
Fran.
Brad did a great job. It was in the smaller room.
Yes.
Because it is... Oh, anyway, whatever. But,
Yes. You know what? The smaller room, it's the best thing for comedy, isn't it? Like, it's the appropriate room. You know,
well, if there's a smaller crowd, I think it's a good thing to do it in a smaller room.
Yeah, it's exactly.
But it was fine. It was great. Lovely people.
I think that apropos conversation about firefighters, perhaps there weren't less people there because they were out fighting bushfires.
Yes, maybe. And Christine Basil was on. Great to see her. She was very funny.
Very funny.
Very funny bowling, 10-pin bowling joke. because her husband, of course... He's in the CFA. He's big in the CFA.
Man.
She didn't do my favourite joke, though, which is, he spends a lot of time fighting fires.
Yeah.
Maybe a bit too sensitive for this time.
God, how many people's jokes do you do when I'm not here?
I credit them, though.
Yeah.
It's a tribute. And then, you ever try to set fire to a wet farmhouse? That's without the setup. But anyway, and then James McCann was on. He was very fun. I've never seen him before. He's from Adelaide originally.
He's very good.
He moved to Melbourne. Very funny, man.
Yeah, and him.
I had to go on. And then Brad MC'd and did a great job.
Oh, that's great. Isn't that
good? I didn't see your start because I was out eating a free pizza and talking to James. And I came in and you said it was hard work at the start, but they were good for you in the.
It was a very hard work at the start, and we'll get to that when we talk about what works
and what didn't. Yes.
But, you know, I know your rules. I will not preempt
No. You're part of the podcast now. You're the Aussie to my Daryl. Come on.
I'm just peeling it back. I'm just going, it's not so bad.
Aussie's not so bad. It's going to be a dicky knee.
I'd rather be Jackie McDonald.
Folks are dumb where I come from. Yep.
It was delightful. You had some material I've never heard before, and it was very enjoyable.
Building up for the Comedy Festival.
I did my new joke. You haven't heard that, have you?
What's that one?
Oh, no, you missed that one. I did that start.
Not the shitting in the bath one.
Yeah, that one.
The Peter Hellyer. That's on the Peter Hellyer podcast episode.
Oh, that's right. How did it go? Yeah. It went a lot better. Went a lot better. I made a point of looking like I really had done it. I don't know. Because I look like a shallow guy, you know? Enjoyable, beautiful room, and gee, they looked after us.
It's good to get a room where people look after. They give you drinks, food.
Yeah, but see, this may have been brought up once or twice before on the podcast before.
Yeah.
Sorry, we're just going past Parkdale.
Down there, footy club.
Great footy club.
Yeah. What has been brought up before?
Sometimes when you go to places, there's a little bit of resentment.
Yeah.
You know, when you go there, and they were fine. The staff were respectful, happy to have us there. And so on, you know, as opposed to people going, you know, this is normally a footy hand pass night, you know.
Yeah. Or you have to pay for your drinks.
Yeah.
I have a Diet Coke, you have to pay for that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, fair enough.
Chat, because you're not doing comedy, people are trying to text in here.
Thrift Park? What does that mean? What is a thrift park? There's a shopping center called Thrift Park.
Well, it's either cheap or... Somebody's got a bit of a bad lisp.
Thrift Park.
Yes.
We'll call it Thrift Park.
Are you sure? Should we go Thrift Park? Stephen.
and on the day that Terry Jones has died.
Oh, no.
Waterwick. I think it was Waterwick. Was it Roger?
Well, I think Park Roger
is motoring.
I think Roger's the pen, the ultimate. Maybe Waterwick is the penultimate.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But yeah, anyway, it was...
We had fun.
Yeah, I know. We survived it, and Dougie Chappell was there.
He runs the room.
Man who runs the gig, and he...
He's a comic for everyone.
He drove a long way to be there and make sure we were all right. Very appreciative.
Good man. Could have only been better if you handed us a little brown envelope with money in it.
Anybody that's sitting out there, that's not true.
That's not true. It's all invoice these days.
Yeah, it's all
true. That's how it works.
Yeah. People say, is it on the books? And yeah, mate, there's no books anymore. It's on the computer.
Yeah, it's on the file.
Yeah. Back when I started doing comedy, people go, is it on the books? We're saving up for a book.
Yeah. Do you remember getting checks? I remember getting checks.
Checks and promises. Sometimes just cakes.
Yeah.
And didn't that work out well for you and I?
Oh yeah. Well, it was a successful night, Bradford.
It was, and we're very close to doing another one.
Very soon.
I don't know.
It's gonna be good times. Good times had by all. Well, let's go through the questions. So what went well tonight and why?
Well, I spoke about the goodwill you know, being welcomed. And I thought it was very smart. They had a smaller crowd than they'd anticipated, so they moved it to a smaller room. Right?
It's a good idea.
You know?
Well, when we first walked in, we were like, where is it? Where's the comedy night?
Yeah,
it's not where it normally is.
No. And
I think, have we gone to the wrong Cheeky Squire?
Totally. You know, it's just... you see, that's something that the Americans are very good at. I learned that in the 80s before I even did stand-up comedy. Like, you always put out just enough chairs.
Because it's never good to put chairs away. You always want to put them out.
Exactly. And that's what happened to the Jehovah's Witnesses, right? They built enormous churches. And, you know, put six people in, 180. Anyway. So, yes.
Well, why don't you do your Jehovah's jokes anymore? Do you remember them?
No, I can't.
You know, the Jehovah's knock on the door. You go, why do they always travel in pairs? Why don't you split up and do both sides of the street?
Oh, my God.
Remember that joke?
God, that's...
That's a good joke.
That's so long ago.
Or as my bullies used to say, why don't you join the Mormons? At least you get a bike.
I'll tell you something true about the Mormons, too. In the 80s, I moved to Northcote. I moved over the other side of the river, not far from where you live now. In Westcar
Street. Good Lord, you've never lived north of the river, I thought.
No, I hate it. You know, I don't like it. All the trees are in the wrong place. But but there was a Church of the Latter-day Saints down in
Westcar. I know, yeah, I know it, yeah. It's a big place.
Back in the 80s, right, you might have seen, probably still in school, but...
What year?
They had buys. I'm talking about... probably 82.
No, right? Yeah, high school. I was in high school. You're right.
But Mormons had bikes, but they also had little yellow Corollas.
Oh, did they?
Toyota Corollas.
I don't remember that at all.
And here's the thing, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I tend to notice and count things a little bit. Right? Like, you know, I'll see, you know, fire engines and
counting stuff.
I'm a little tiny, you know, like, and to all the people who are really OCD, no, I'm not. But yeah, I was a little bit of I was probably a cataloger, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, they had this little yellow Corolla, and I thought, oh my God, that Corolla gets around, right? And then one day, I discovered at the end of my street, the Church of the Latter-day Saints, where they had a fleet of little yellow Corollas.
How many, you reckon?
I reckon about 20.
So how did you go from I wonder how you get the promotion from the bike to the Corolla.
Exactly.
Because I don't see them on bikes so much anymore. I see them walking around a lot.
They do walk, do they? And you know when they walk around too? Do you notice too, I reckon, I don't know if you notice this, right? I reckon that they pair them with somebody who walks a little bit quicker than the other one.
No. Like penguins or something.
Well, like our big brother, little brother. Like,
yeah, right.
Like, come on. No, come on. No.
The last time I had an interaction with Mormons was I was doing a gig in Busselton. You know Busselton?
Yes.
And what is the big tourist attraction in Busselton? Do you know?
It's not the milk carton, is it?
No, it has the world's longest pier.
Oh, yes.
No, not the world. The Southern Hemisphere's longest pier.
Yes.
It's like a mile long with some amazing... And so I went to my motel, and it was a really crap motel. There was a guy playing...
Did you walk to the end of the...
Yes.
Did you do a mile and back?
Yeah. I walked to the end of the pier, and I was so exhausted that I sat on a... There's a park bench, right? There's a little train along there, too. I thought I was seeing things. Anyway, I sat on this park bench, and these Mormons came up to me, and they said... Because I've been walking around the city, too. He actually said, we've noticed you wandering the streets. Would you like to talk about Jesus? And I said, if you give me a dink on that bike, I'll convert, mate.
You know, I was in...
I actually started talking to him on the way back, and he said, because, you know, he said, how do you know so much about the Mormon religion? Because I said, you believe that Jesus went to America when he was hung on the cross?
You're a Smith.
No, I saw South Park. There's a whole episode where they explain that they go through the Mormon religion.
Hence the musical, yeah.
Yeah, anyway. They've got some kooky beliefs. And one of them admitted, he said, not all of us actually believe those stories.
Oh, wow.
Because, I mean, they believe that Jesus came to America and talked to the Native Americans when he was on the cross.
Yeah, but to be fair, and I don't want to offend anybody out there, but to be fair, the moment you believe in Jesus,
yeah, anything
like, you can only go, oh, well, that's a bit extreme.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus walked on water. Yeah.
Yeah.
He went to America. Oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. So what? We're just coming up to the great Moorabbin Bowl. I wonder if that's still open. One of the great bowling alleys.
Yeah.
Or the outer suburbs of Melbourne.
I reckon.
I think it's still open.
Within 2 weeks, you will have gone bowling. It's just looming large.
There it is.
Here. But you're looming large.
There it is.
You know? Yeah.
You know what? It hurts your back though when you bowl at our age. Yeah. It's a little bit back. Not good for your back. So what went wrong tonight then, and why?
I think that there was no front of house spotlight.
No, that's right.
Right, and
it was very dark on stage.
You know, it's I didn't realise, like, as the MC, I was out there first, and I had to, warm the crowd up. And I thought to myself, I feel like they like me, you know. I've done this for a while, and to be honest, like, my whole life I'm very sensitive to whether or not people like me or not.
And, yeah.
I felt like they like me. But they're not laughing commensurate with how much they like me.
But there's almost not enough people to get a big laugh anyway, was
there? Well, nevertheless, really, no. I mean, anybody can get a laugh on a bus if you're going to bomb, you know? Like, But it was only after I brought Christine on as first act that I realised that she was completely in darkness.
Yes.
You could not see her face.
No.
And I thought, in retrospect, I thought, well, that's...
That's why...
what my problem was.
Yeah.
Only not that I was working hard, because that can happen, but working harder than I thought.
Yeah.
I needed to, right?
Yeah.
And it's not only that, it's even when you were on where we try to correct it and so on, it's like...
I stood right back in the light, though, didn't I?
I know, but what you'd move and all of a sudden your eyes would disappear.
Yeah.
You look like a raccoon, right?
Yeah.
And then you'd step forward and people go, oh, he's only got one arm, you know? Like, and so it's hell, you know. And in hindsight, because you know my fixation with trying to make the room as dark as possible.
Oh, so, and the light. There are lights on the audience too.
Yeah. So in hindsight, it would have cost a lot, but maybe just keep all the lights up and just do it the day. You know. So I didn't think that worked. And the other thing I thought didn't work was. In terms of the music that you play in between the acts and when you bring the acts on, should always be up tempo.
Yeah, yeah, a bit, right? Yeah, a bit of rock and roll.
Yeah, and so it's like, when you rock and roll.
What was it like Peter, Paul, and Mary, as you said, was it?
Oh,
what was it?
Yeah.
The Seekers?
Oh, yeah, totally. It was just like, it was like 20 Amish hits.
Yeah, Amish. Quite a theme tonight.
Some people say Amish. And I love to think that in the Amish world, there's that split where people go, well, we're not Amish, we're Amish.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know. But anyway, that, to me, everything else, I thought, like I said, like, respected.
Right.
You know, every gig, if it has a great MC, it goes well. Well, it had that.
It had you, Brad. You were the one.
And I didn't sell any DVDs, but I gave two away and said, if you ever feel like sending me any money...
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
Your address is on there.
Well, so it was a bit Krishna, that, really. And we've got these two Mormons in the back here.
They can buy one.
Wow.
Well, how can we do better next time? But we've covered that off.
Well, I will speak to the guy who runs the gig and say,
get a light.
Put this in place. Apart from that, you know, I love going to Frankston.
Oh, it's beautiful, the beach. You look out at the beach.
Oh, yeah. Didn't they feed us well?
Oh, man.
Really? I mean, you know.
Oof. You know, I had soup for tea on purpose because I knew we'd be getting food there.
Yeah.
Too bad for my children and wife, but too bad. I'll be having pizza.
What did they have?
Soup. We had minestrone soup.
That was it.
And salad and bread. Yeah, I mean...
Oh, you're kidding me.
No, but
that's
you've...
like an Italian meal.
Yeah, beautiful. But you have, in Australia, I put a lot of pasta in it. So it's like a pasta dish. Yeah. But, you know, it's quite healthy.
You do the salad second?
No. We're not that Italian or European. We just have it all together.
I always think you should do the
Italian thing?
Minestrone first and then do the salad.
Yeah, all together. I've done a gig there at the Mason Centre for the Freemasons. Right there.
Well, it's gone now.
No, that's still there, the Freemason Centre. Look at it.
Yeah,
look at the big Freemason symbol.
Where?
Look, on the top there. Can't you see it staring down? It's a little lit up.
That's rebuilt.
Oh, yeah, that's rebuilt, but that is still the Masons still own.
Oh, it is, yeah. But
yeah, and they tried to buy Tiny Town, which I've talked about on this podcast before.
These are the Jewish... Yeah, we've talked about this. These are the Jewish Freemasons. I did a gig there.
Oh, I've done a gig there too.
Back in the day.
When it was the old one.
When it was the old one. Right, and they... The Gardenvale Freemasons, right? And, see... There's nowhere in the world has there been Jewish Freemasons. They were traditionally the enemies.
Yeah, well, and the Catholics couldn't even join the Freemasons. That's why they set up Knights of the Southern Cross.
And so these guys, when I did the gig there, they're awesome, right? But they took me upstairs and showed me all the...
Oh, the paraphernalia.
All the paraphernalia, like the stuff they're not supposed to show me. They're great clearly. They're going, we don't care, we're Jews.
Let anyone in now.
Jewish Masons.
My dad's a Mason, so they've got Jewish people. They've got Asians. They've got everyone. Everyone's welcome.
I heard that let Port Adelaide supporters in.
Yeah. Really?
Long by.
Well, you've been listening to the debrief, and catch me and Brad at the Comedy Festival if you're in Melbourne. We're doing the Grandview Hotel, the Funhouse, on the weekends. It's a good night. We normally get a special guest. Yeah. Last year we had Celia, we had Heezy, we had Nazine, Luke Heggie. Most nights there's what you'd call a decent name on, apart from my Brad and myself.
Exactly, yeah.
Des Dowling did it.
Yeah, just imagine bread and jam and then something really good.
Yeah. But everyone loves bread and jam. Let's not run bread and jam down. Bloody love it. All right, well, thanks, Brad.
It's great to be here.
You will return, I know, because we're doing a gig on Sunday.
Oh, no. Jamone.
Yeah, but I think Jamone's staying down there. He won't be coming with us. Anyway, it'll just be me and you again. Alone again.
Oh, it's just us.
Just us.
Can we employ someone to be here?
We could. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Phone Hacks. Hey guys, if you're looking for a new podcast, check out the Phone Hacks podcast on the Nearly Network, starring comedians me, Mike Goldstein, and Nick Capper. Capper, what's the premise?
Basically, we go through each other's phones, and we also have a special guest. We go through their phone as well, and we put out some hacks that really ruin each other's lives.
Yeah, it's highly entertaining, but it's been excruciating and anxiety-filled, so please enjoy our pain.
Phone Hacks.